8:32 or 10:32 on this Saturday morning. Penny, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I am wonderful. It is a very nice day today. 53 degrees, it says on my sign out there.
That'd be exactly right. That's what it is, 53 degrees, partly cloudy skies.
Great. Well, just want to let everybody know I've got some beautiful poinsettias to pick from. Got large, medium, and small, really pretty colors. Got lots of stuff in our showroom. We've got Christmas flags, the small and the large. Got lots of different gift ideas. And, of course, our Christmas cabin is just beaming with lights and sparklies and all that good stuff.
Well, Christmas is almost here, isn't it?
I know. We do have a lot of really pretty conifers outside that you could make a live Christmas tree out of. Got some beautiful tall hollies with berries on them, so they're already half decorated. That's pretty cool.
We're talking with Penny at Carl Wayne's Nurseries, 1151 East 9th Street, Highway 5 South, Mountain Home. The phone number is 425-6966. And what are your hours now, Penny?
We are on our winter hours, so we're 9 to 4, Monday through Saturday.
All right. Taking Sunday off, are you?
Yes. Yes, I've had one Sunday off so far. Pretty nice.
Well, you have a good weekend, all right?
Thank you so much. Y'all enjoy your day.
Thank you. Penny this morning, Carl Wayne's Nurseries. 1151 East 9th Street in Mountain Home, Highway 5 South. Temperature's at 55 degrees now under partly cloudy skies. Nothing on the Taylor Hearing Center's color weather radar. Full shows, a unit on at minimum flow. Lake level 653.89. North Fork, nothing on, 551.53. 55 the high yesterday, 43 the low, and partly sunny with a high today of 65. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy, low of 45. Sunday, partly sunny, high of 68. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, low of 52. And Monday, hopefully, a 50% chance of showers, slight chance of thunderstorms, high of 70 degrees. Monday night, colder, periods of showers, and a slight chance of thunderstorms, a low of 40. Chance of precipitation Monday night, 90%.
Yippee.
And Tuesday, mostly cloudy, cooler, a 40% chance of rain, and a high of 53 degrees. Time now for plant trivia. We'll be drawing for the winner. We didn't draw in November. We had two winners in November. We'll get a winner today, and then we will draw, and someone will get a $10 certificate to Bookworms at the Baxter County Library. What have you got, Vic?
I've got this. We've talked about this a couple of times, and I think it bears repeating. So I'm asking for what was the product that most of us have in our home that you can lay down on the ground if you're wanting to create a new garden next spring? And if you lay it down now, there are two different products. They're kind of the same. But you can put them down and lay them down on the ground, and if they're down through the winter, pile some rocks on them, and they will create a new path. They'll kill out all the grass and weeds and everything else so that you can have a new spring garden, and it'll be ready for you to sow the seeds and the plants next spring if you do it now.
425-5522-888-884-0364. Good morning. What's the answer?
Plastic and newspapers?
You betcha. Yeah, and cardboard also, if you've got either one. So you got it right on the nail. Let's have your name, please, ma'am.
Eileen Schnurr.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Name is Dan. 425-5522-888-884-0364 are the phone numbers this morning. And the email address is Vicki@KTLO.com.
That's a real simple way to take care of creating a new garden spot, and it's easy. Like I said, though, if the wind comes up, you do want to kind of put some rocks around the edges to make sure that it doesn't blow away and all your root. But what happens is even the water can permeate it, which helps also, and it does smother out anything else. And so it's just real simple. I would say that you need to stack about a dozen sheets so that it won't, you know, you don't want to just put one down. That's a little flimsy and it won't do much good and it won't smother much of anything. So take the Sunday paper and put it out there. I would suggest also, I know that long ago they were very particular about this, that you did not use the the parts that were shiny, you know, like the insert things that you get that are shiny and are very colorful, because the ink in those days could penetrate, and it was not harmful, but it was not helpful, shall we say. I have not heard if that's changed, so I always just use the black and white newsprint paper, which you stack up and do this. I've also used that process and that procedure to make paths. If you want to make new paths in and around, or maintain your paths, you know, that have gotten worn out and whatnot and need to be kind of regrouped, if you'll just lay down cardboard and or newsprint down there, it will also, and then you can pile mulch on it, which will help also, and then that'll make a really nice path. So it's an easy thing, and it's recycling, I think, at its best. We've been talking about Christmas trees, and I think some of the facts about them are just great fun. One thing was, the first Christmas tree retail lot in New York City was in 1851, and that, golly, Ned, that was amazing to me that there was one in 1851, and there was a fellow down on down Times Square or somewhere, and was selling Christmas trees, and I imagine that was quite a sight. It'd be fun if they had a picture of that. Never have. Christmas trees were originally decorated with lighted candles, and I don't know if you remember the story about Luther. Walking through the forest one evening, and he saw the stars and the light of the stars on the trees, and that inspired him to put a tree in his home with his children, and they had lighted candles on that too. And that was a dangerous thing to have, I can only imagine, because the trees dry out, number one, and number two, the candles, if you weren't maintaining them, it could be kind of a problem. But in 1882, an associate of Thomas Edison, his name was Edward Johnson, is recognized as the first person to put electrical lights on a live Christmas tree. They were really, really expensive then. A typical tree that was lit with those lights in the 1900s cost about $300. And in that time and day, that was a huge amount of money. I think it still would be to light up a tree. But General Electric, GE, started mass producing pre-assembled lights in 1903, so they have been around for a long time. And I don't know if you remember, but in the olden days, long ago, they had the big bulbs that were all different colors, and I still remember those, and I think we still have a string of those somewhere in the basement. I actually think those are just so beautiful, and they to me are a great memory of Christmas. Now, of course, they have all these teeny tiny little lights, and the unfortunate part about that is when one of those goes out, a whole section goes out, and then you can't find anything to replace it. I think we've made a lot of progress, and they do look sweet and twinkly and whatever, but interestingly enough, I still like all the different colors that have been produced over the years. If you are wanting a tree indoors, of course, one of the varieties that I think is one of the most popular and great fun, and you'll see those now in smaller pots and things, are the Norfolk Island pines. It's a house plant that can be grown to be over 6 feet tall. We grew one from a tiny, tiny one over about an 8-year period to where it was like, oh gosh, it was 8 feet tall. It was gorgeous. And they can be used for Christmas trees, and they're really lovely. They're very symmetrical. And the thing with a Norfolk Island pine, nowadays they plant them in those small pots, and they often plant a whole bunch of them together, which I think is just nuts. So if you get one that has about 4 or 6 or whatever, make sure that you separate those out. Sometimes it's very difficult because they're in this clump and their roots have kind of all intertwined, which is not good. So after Christmas and after you take down your decorations, take it outside and pull it out of the pot. Moisten the soil at that point, and then you can separate all those roots. And if they're really tangled, I would just cut off the smallest trees there'll be some little teeny tiny ones at the base that are insignificant. I would pull them apart and get them off the main tree. Save the main tree that looks good to you and repot it, and you can repot the others also. And then let it sit outside in the summertime. They like being outdoors, not in direct sun, but on a deck or somewhere they do fine. And the key with those trees is that is that you want to make them symmetrical and you want them to be upright and tall. Now, as you may have noticed with a lot of houseplants, they tend to bend or lean toward the light. And, of course, that's just part and parcel of their nature. So if you have it indoors, you've bought one this winter and for Christmas, and in January and February, of course, the light is not that great, but they're going to lean toward whatever light source there is. So the main thing that you can do, which is very simple, is to about once a week turn them a half turn in their pot, and that will keep them so that they'll grow symmetrically up straight. And that is the biggest problem. That's it. Otherwise, you want to mist them every now and then, because any tree like that does not like to be in a house where it's really dry. Most plants don't, quite frankly, except for the cactus. And so you will want to mist it along with a lot of, kind of like your ferns and things like that, with just some room temperature water, which will be sufficient and take care of it. And then when it's dry in its pot, and don't overpot it. That's the other thing, because usually they're about, well, maybe 2 feet tall. You don't want to put them in too big a pot. And then you'll turn the pot and mist the plant. And then next spring, set it outside, and it will really begin to grow. Fertilize it when you fertilize everything else with a high nitrogen fertilizer, because you want green, pretty green needles on your Norfolk Island pine, and it will do fine. I hope, and I haven't really looked this season, but I do hope. I know last year, one thing that bothered me is they had all this glitter all over them, and it's not injurious, but it really looks tacky in July, I think, to have glitter on your Norfolk pine. And I really don't know the solution unless you can kind of wash it off or shake it off. But I think they're great. I think they're an easy houseplant. Water them when dry, then let them go dry. They do not have to stay moist all the time. And you've got a living Christmas tree that you can grow through the years. And it's just a neat thing to have.
It is 16 before 11. Let's ease back down to Warrior Cafe and Tim Tabbs.
Thank you, sir. And it is Customer Appreciation Day down here at Warrior Cafe. And Nathan, I tell you, they're coming out. People are coming out here. They're talking about the ribs, saying how awesome they were.
Man, they were awesome last night. And, man, those things are awesome. It didn't really go as well as I was hoping yesterday starting back. But we're still going to do them on Fridays as we always do. I've actually got some exciting news. I haven't broken yet. But starting in January, we are officially bringing back the fish buffet.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
You got a round of applause
that's right,
for that
man.
One.
That's right, man. So we're starting that back up 4 to 7 on Friday nights. You know, so we'll be here a little longer on Fridays. But my wife wasn't very happy, but
oh, but everybody else,
it's work.
We love that fish
that's
buffet.
Right, man. That stuff's awesome. I think what I'm actually going to be doing this year is we're actually not just going to do fish. We're actually going to do some fish, do some pulled pork as well. I'm going to do some Salisbury steaks, maybe some chicken fried steaks, mashed potatoes. Just, man, some home cooking with some fish.
And, boy, we would love it, too. I love a buffet. You put buffet anywhere on anything, and that's right. I'm going to be there for it.
No matter what's in front of it, fish, breakfast, what it is, lunch, doesn't matter, man, whatever's there.
Now, turkeys today.
That's right, man. We got turkeys, $34.99. I have heard nothing but compliments so far about them, as well as those burgers as well, man. Those burgers are pretty awesome. Just tried those today, threw them on the smoker, and man, those things have been fantastic.
I'm going to have another piece of that than I am.
You and me both, buddy.
$1,350 in the treasure chest. It's Customer Appreciation Day here at Warrior Cafe. We'll be broadcasting till noon. Come down, win the money, try some samples. I'm Tim Tibbs, broadcasting live.
Have you seen Carwayne's Nursery's landscape crews before and after photos on Facebook? If you have, then you know that there is no job too big or too small for Carwayne's Nursery's landscape crew. When you call 425-6966 for your free landscape estimate, you will find yourself with great customer service and a job well done. Carwayne's Nursery's landscape crew offers free landscape estimates, so there's no reason not to call today. That's 425-6966 for your free landscape estimate. That's 425-6966.
Silent night, holy night, what a wonderful time of the year. But for some, a silent night is all too real. I'm Renata Jenkins-Bowler with Roller Funeral Homes. I invite all to join us for our memorial candlelighting service on Sunday, December the 3rd at 2 p.m. It will be a time for reflecting, sharing, and lighting a candle in your loved one's memory. Roller Funeral Home, with all our respect.
We alarm our houses, and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your Social Security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Aaron's Jolly Days are here. This Friday through Sunday at Aaron's, just $12 gets you started leasing to own top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Yes, just $12 with no credit needed and free delivery and setup. Make your holiday a jolly one. Get started with just $12 at participating Aaron's stores this Friday and Saturday or at Aaron's.com this Friday through Sunday. Just $12 gets you started during Aaron's Jolly Days. Transaction advertises a rental purchase agreement. Some restrictions apply, so see store for details.
12 before 11, 425-5522, 888-884-0364. The number's called. Got about 11 minutes. We want to get a call in or an email. And it's time for the drawing. And who is the winner of this month's certificate?
Geneva Sproles. You're the winner, Geneva. And so come on by the office upstairs anytime during the week between 9 and 5 or
whatever. That's close enough for government work.
And you can pick up your gift certificate for the bookworm at the library. And I'm here to tell you that the soup that they're cooking over there is awesome. And it's a winter specialty. And goodness gracious, whatever kind they have special that day, that's my recommendation because it is so delicious. And we're having some cold weather, so next week would be a good time to go by and get you a bowl of soup, even if you don't have a gift certificate. We're talking about Christmas trees and the origins and how they started and that they are kind of a masterpiece. There's a bazillion different Christmas tree growers in America. It's quite an employer, and they do a really, really fantastic job. They plant 3 tree seedlings for every 1 tree that's harvested. Because if you've ever planted tree seedlings, you know, they're kind of prone to having collapsing or having bugs or whatnot. And so they plant three times as many, really, as they're going to harvest because they know that attrition is one of the things that they have to plan for. But I think some of the trivia about it is really fun. And in 1856, Franklin Pierce, the 14th president of the United States, was the first president to place a Christmas tree in the White House. And that goes back a ways, I'd say. And, of course, now it's a phenomenon that people from all over go in to decorate the tree, and it's just quite an event. President Coolidge started the National Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony on the White House himself in 1923. And then, interestingly enough, Teddy Roosevelt banned the Christmas tree from the White House for environmental reasons. I guess he had allergies. That's all I can figure out. I'm not sure what I couldn't find out anything more about his stand for this. I applaud him for his stand, but he did ban it, but then it came back, of course, and has made a national treasure, actually. In 1963, the national Christmas tree was not lit until December 22nd because of a national 30-day period of mourning following the assassination of President Kennedy. And since 1966, the National Christmas Tree Association has given a Christmas tree to the president and his family for display in the Blue Room. So there's a lot of history that goes with the Christmas tree, a lot of political history which goes with the Christmas tree, but it's nice that it's not biased. Interestingly enough, too, in 2012, 46 million Christmas tree seedlings were planted by U.S. growers. So that's a lot of seedlings. I guess they come from a different farm. And usually more than 2,000 trees are usually planted per acre. So that's a lot of trees. And of that, on that average, 1,000 to 1,500 of these trees will survive. So that's how they have to plant. They have to overplant. And in the northern part of the country, perhaps 750 trees will remain. So, of course, in the southern section, we have less of a chance of a horrendous winter that would take out your crop. It takes 6 to 10 years of fighting heavy rain, hail and drought to get a mature tree. And all of us who've ever planted one, any kind of tree, knows that it does take that to get a small seedling to grow. It's a neat thing. Artificial trees were developed, interestingly enough, in Germany during the 19th century, and they later became popular in the United States. And these trees were made using goose feathers that were dyed green and attached to wire branches. And the wire branches were then wrapped around a central dowel rod that acted as a trunk. As they say, we've come a long way from that, which is probably a good thing.
Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on with Vicki.
Hello. Hi, Vicki. This is Pat. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Hey, I have a question. My friend gave me a pot of Christmas cactus cuttings, you know, from her pot. Mm-hmm. And she gave it to me last year, and I don't remember, maybe in the summer, and it never bloomed, even though I did put it out, you know, to do the blooms in, you know, in the colder weather.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this year it would bloom, but it's still not one bloom on it. Do you have any idea what the reason would be?
No, because it has a mind of its own, and it may take mm-hmm. a couple of 3 years before it will be mature enough. Quite frankly,
okay.
And I don't know that it could sustain having, you know, it's just getting established right now if it were from cuttings. And that does take a while just in and of itself. The thing that I would suggest you do starting in the spring when things begin to grow a little more and more, you know, their growth spurt starts, I would get some 50-30-15
okay.
a fertilizer like Miracle-Gro. And when you water it, of course, you don't water it too much, but when you do water it with that and see if that fertilizer won't help stimulate it. Because you've had it 2 years or 1 year?
This is the second Christmas.
Okay, so by next year it'll be the third. So hopefully by then we'll see some growth, and it would be able to tolerate that fertilizer too.
Okay, so it's 15, 30, 15.
Correct, because that middle number on a fertilizer, you know, there are three numbers on fertilizer, and the middle number is what is the
bloom.
Thing that makes the blooms happen. The other the others are important, but you don't want the first number to be the largest, because then it'll just produce green. And it's the leaf producer. So make sure the middle number's the largest. And usually
then I have a big one that always has a bunch of blooms on it. And like I said, I've been putting it out, like you said, mm-hmm. you know, to get it cold and bring it in if it got too cold. And there's only it's a huge one. There's only about 8 blooms on it. I mean, little buds. So will I get more?
Probably not. It's almost a cyclical thing. And sometimes, you know, fruit trees bear a lot of fruit, but the next year they won't. So if it's been a heavy bearer, it may just be kind of worn out. That's the first thing to think about. The second thing to think about is make sure you're going to feed it the 15. And the third thing to think about is how old is it?
Oh, it's probably about 5 or 6 years old, I would imagine.
Okay, well, that's not too old. I was going to say if it's about 10 or 12, usually they sometimes need some extra potting soil because they've kind of worn it all out. So if it's in a teeny tiny pot, you know.
No, it's not real small.
Okay, well, then I would just persevere, and I would add that fertilizer to the schedule for that plant also.
Spring.
Yeah, and it may be, and it may just be because usually we have an off year. You know, if they bloom profusely for a while, they're kind of worn out, and then adding that fertilizer may be just the thing it needs.
Okay.
I hope.
Great. Thank you. Have a good holiday.
Well, you do too. Thanks for calling.
5 minutes before 11, 425-5522, 888-884-0364.
As we've been talking about Christmas trees in particular, but I also want to mention fig trees are a very popular item, and they're grown handily in this area also. So if you want to increase your fig tree and add another fig tree, you can now's a really good time to take an existing low branch and mound soil over it. I would get some really good potting soil or some garden soil and mound it over it and rough up the soil underneath it. And it will root as such, still connected to the mother tree. And then next early spring, cut it away and dig it up and put it where you want to have it in a good location with some good soil, and you'll increase the number of fig trees you have. And the other thing about that you need to think about doing is if you have young shade trees and you planted them maybe 3 years ago or 2 years ago, later this month, and I would wait until probably, you know, around Christmas time, you can prune the lower branches to about 6 feet off the ground. Cut them very close to the trunk and leave a bulge, which is called the stem collar, that you've probably seen on older trees, and that will seal off the wound in a few seasons, so you don't have to worry about it. But if you do that now, then you can always mow underneath them, and if you wait for too long to take care of those lower branches, it's very difficult, number one, and it's harder on the tree. So make sure you think about that in your property. And then the most important thing most important thing about Christmas tree, live Christmas trees in your house, is keep them well watered. A Christmas tree can absorb as much as a gallon of water or more during the 24 hours after it's been cut. So bring them home and make sure you water them a quart or more each day thereafter, and keep the water level constant. It'll prevent dropped needles and dry branches, and enough moisture also keeps the tree smelling great. So keep them well watered, enjoy them, have a wonderful holiday, and take care. We'll be visiting with you in 2018,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, 1st of January, we'll be back. Back for another year, right?
You betcha. It's been a great year. I've enjoyed it and enjoyed conversation with all of you. You take care and have a blessed Christmas.
KTLO-FM 97.9 in Mountain Home. On air, online.